Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. I want to thank, as always, our generous series sponsors, Becky and Avi Katz and family, in memory of David Grossman, our learning Shabili Lenishmas, David Ben Menachem Manish. This morning, Shir is also dedicated for Refuah Shlema of a dear friend of mine, Rav Natanel Ben Miral. Should have a speedy, painless, and complete Refuah Shlema. Please keep him in your thoughts and in your tefillos. Rav Natanel Ben Miral, we should hear Mirtz Hashem good news. There is no shiur. We're off next week. There are plenty of shiurim from previous years you can listen to online, or plenty of other phenomenal Magidei shiur you can listen to online. But we're going to be traveling next week, and therefore there is no live new shiur next week. So just want to announce that in advance. Page 170, Parshas Vayishlach, the narrative, the story that we're so familiar with, we know so well, continues to unfold, and no matter how well we know it, nevertheless, it still grips us. The story of our Torah, story of Yaakov, the dreaded reunion with his brother Esav that he is in fact so nervous and even anxious about, which is unusual. We'll see in a moment why a tzaddik who trusts in Hashem and has that promise should be nervous or anxious. But we along with him, even though we know how the story ends, but we read Parshas Vayishlach, and as the story unfolds, we live it, we feel it yet again. Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav el Esav achiv, Arza Seir stay Edom. So Yaakov, after 22 years of separation, alienation, 22 years of running and being on the road, he's now ready to reunite with his brother. But before he does, because of those concerns, he makes some preparations. He does some advanced legwork. And Chazal, rabbis tell us, he does three things. He sends gifts. He davens, of course, to Hashem. And he prepares for the worst. He hopes for the best, but prepares for the worst. So he makes plans for milchama. He girds his army, his family, to be able to go to battle if it will be necessary. So the first thing he does is he sends malachim. He sends angels. Rashi tells us these are malachim mamish. He sends angels, real angels, in order to impress and to terrify Esav, to let him know who he is, where he comes from, what's going on. Esav shouldn't think he has the upper hand. He sends malachim mamish. He sends literal angels. He commands them and he says, this is what you should tell my master Esav. The reason I haven't come sooner, my dear brother Esav, the reason I haven't made amends, the reason I haven't made an effort to reconcile and reunite sooner is I've been preoccupied. Why and where have I been preoccupied? Im lavan garti. I've been living with Lagom, ve'echar arata, so that made me delayed. Ve'elishor b'chamortzom b'beshivcha. Get him on page 170. I've sojourned with Lavan, I've acquired oxen and donkeys, flocks, servants, maidservants, and I'm sending to tell my Lord to find favor in your eyes. Ve'eshuva malachim al Yaakov, they come back and they say, banu alachicha el Esav, indeed we came, we approached your brother Esav, ve'gam holech lekroscha, ve'arba me'os ish imo. And here's the news. He's heading towards you, and he's got 400 men with him. So Yaakov makes this gesture. So sorry, I was delayed. I love you. I would have been here earlier. Oh, here are some gifts. Here are some wonderful things. And what do they report back? Yeah, he's also making his way towards you, and he's got 400 armed men with him. So what's Yaakov's reaction? Understandably, Vayira Yaakov ma'od, Vayetzer lo. Yaakov's frightened. He's distressed, he's anxious, but he does something about it. He divides his people, his entourage, his family, into two camps. So let's get started, let's understand the psukim. It's an amazing thing. We learn the same and read the same words each and every year. But there's so many new and more marvelous and amazing and timely and timeless insights that are relevant specifically for us in that new year. What we individually and collectively are going through, the Torah is talking to us. The parsha we read on any given week is not a coincidence or chance. It was designed and it has messages specifically for us in that time. So says we'll start with Rav Shaul Alter, the great Gerer Rosh Yeshiva. Ko amar avdechal Yaakov im lavan garti. So said your servant. This is the message Yaakov sends these angels to tell Esav. Im lavan garti. I've been living with Avon. What does Rashi tell us? Im lavan garti. Rashi has two perushim, two interpretations. Lo nasesi sar v'choshev elager. First one is, Esav, relax. Esav, you're worried I stole the bracha, and included in the bracha was I was going to rise to prominence, to prestige, to power. Don't worry. Never happened. The bracha wasn't fulfilled. I'm not a sar v'chashev. I'm not an officer, a diplomat. I'm not royalty. I'm just a ger. I'm just a wanderer. I'm just sojourning. Einecha kedai lesnosi al birchas avicha sheberchini havegvir la'achecha la'achicha. Don't be jealous of me that I stole the bracha in which our father said that I would rise to be a gvir. If you want to know where that word comes from, it's a new professional ambition in our time. Young people want to sign up. What track are they on? I want to be a gvir. What's a gvir? The gvir culture hasn't really hit Boca yet, Baruch Hashem. What's a gvir? If you don't know, learn it. If you know, you know. But have a gvir la'achicha. So the promise was, Yitzchak gave Yaakov a promise, psh, you're going to be a gvir, you're going to be a big shot, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to be a source of power, you're going to be a source of influence, you're going to be a gvir, you're going to be a gvir. That's all interpretation number one. So number one is, Yaakov sends a message to Esav, lest you think I stole the bracha and it's been fulfilled in our 22-year absence, and now I'm walking around a big gvir, I'm walking around a big hot shot, nah, I'm a ger. I wander. It hasn't happened. I haven't risen to that level. Number two, klamarim lavan arusha garati v'tarig mitzvah shemarati v'lomadati masav aroyim. Or interpretation number two says Rashi is im lavan garati. I lived with lavan v'tarig mitzvah shemarati, but I observed all 613 mitzvahs. I was living in the din of iniquity. I was living in the backyard of the wicked, evil lavan, but it never rubbed off on me. He had no influence over me. I never compromised an iota on who I am or how I lived. Taryag mitzvah shamarti. I observed all taryag, all 613, v'lo lamadate mimasav aron. These are the two interpretations of Rashi. Says Rav Shalalter, there are several questions that arise. First, Yaakov is trying to appease his brother by saying, relax, don't worry. Tati's bracha, Abba's bracha, our father's blessing. It never happened. It never came true. I didn't become a gvir. I'm just a ger. Whoa. Isn't that denigrating their father? Don't worry. Our father's not so big. His bracha didn't come true. In order to protect yourself, because of the fear that you're living in from your brother, now you're going to knock down your father? What disrespect to Yitzchak. How could Yaakov express such words? Don't worry. The bracha didn't come true. Secondly, why would that calm Esav down? The fact remains that Yaakov stole the brachas from Esav. Fact remains, for 22 years they've been absent, they haven't reconciled, he hasn't made it right, he hasn't made amends. So the fact that the bracha didn't come true for you would make Esav feel better that you stole them? You still have a lot of possessions, you've still been blessed with great wealth. So why would this appease Esav? Question number three, Rashi's wording is uncharacteristically lengthy. What is Rashi getting at? What is Rashi trying to convey? As I frekt, these are the questions of the Geri Rashi Shivir of Shul Alter. So he quotes from the Sefer Mine Targima, Rav Yeshaya Pick, who explains Rashi's choice of expression. Have gvir la'achecha, you need not hate me. Don't hate me for taking the bracha, have gvir la'achecha, since it wasn't fulfilled, be in me. Rashi's wording, it was not fulfilled in me, lo niskaima bi. What was not fulfilled? Lo niskaima bi, you could read to mean, it was not fulfilled bi in me. Or, listen to this creative reading. Or you could read, what was not fulfilled? Bi. The letters, beis yud. The beis yud, that was what was not fulfilled. What was not fulfilled was bi. What do you mean bi? When the letters beis yud are removed from gvir, what do you have left? Have a gvir la'achecha. The promise was I would be a great gvir over you. Don't worry. Lo niskaima bi. The beis yud of gvir were not fulfilled. If you remove beis yud, what do you have left? Gimel resh ger. Yaakov was saying instead of gvir la'achecha, he remained only a ger. I didn't rise to become a gvir. I remained only a ger. But still, isn't he denigrating his father? Isn't it disrespectful to suggest the bracha of his father wasn't fulfilled? Lo niskaima bi. The Beis Yud of Gvir didn't happen, I'm just a Ger. So says the Ger Rosh Hashiva, we can understand it better based on the Ramban. The Ramban explains that Esav spurned the Bechorah because to him, all that mattered, Esav lived in a world of here and now. Bechorah, the firstborn, was about destiny, was about a future, was about what was to come, was about continuity, was about generations, was about the future. This is the character trait of Esav and all Rishayim. They live only in the moment. There is no thought for the future. In fact, Lavan, the etymology of Lavan's name, we didn't say this last week, we could have. The etymology of Lavan's name is Lo Ben. Lavan doesn't live for continuity, children, grandchildren, a future, building, transmitting, growing. Lavan is Lo Ben. He's not concerned for a future, for what is to come. He's not planning, investing, planting, molding, shaping, transmitting. Lavan's Lo Ben. He's here and now. What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? Where's my pleasure? Carpe diem, seize the moment. That's Lavan, and that's also Esav. In fact, that's Esav's very name. The Mefarshim describe when they're born, Yaakov and Esav, Yaakov is an Akeva heel. When a person takes steps, what touches the ground first? The heel of the foot. First, he steps with the heel. Yaakov is growing, walking, progressing, moving, advancing. He's not a finished product. He's not done. Yaakov is, the best is yet to come. Esav, in contrast, Esav, on the other hand, Esav milashon asui. Esav's a finished product. What you see is what you get. Esav was born that way. Esav was born that way. You know, thanks to AI, you could do anything today. So somebody created on AI, and I saw it in my family WhatsApp group. It was a meme or GIF. I don't know the difference. But two babies in a double stroller that looked exactly the same, but one was ruddy, covered in red hair, and one looked like a baby. Right? They used AI. How did Yaakov and Esav, these twins, Esav we know came out fully developed, like a mature adult. He already had a beard. He was already covered in hair. Why? Because physically was reflective of spiritually, emotionally, Esav is asui. He's done. He's complete. He's a finished product. What you see is what you get. There won't be any progress. He's not going to advance. We said this last week from the Meshech Chochma. Remember what we said? Beautiful insight from the Meshech Chochma. After Yaakov takes leave of Lavan, Lavan shav limkomo. Lavan goes back to his place. The Yaakov halach ledarcho. Yaakov goes on to the derech. And the Meshech Chochma said, contrast the two. Lavan, after all those years of living with the tzaddik, after all those years of living with the righteous Yaakov, he's unchanged. He's not influenced. He's not impacted. Where does he return to? Limakomo. My place, this is who I am. What you see is what you get. I am the same way I was 13 years old. I'm stuck. I'm fixed. This is how I daven. This is how I learn. This is my patience. This is my generosity. This is my attention span. These are my life goals. This is it. What you see is what you get. This is who I am. I'm fixed. I'm a finished product. What Carol Dweck would say is the fixed mindset. Halach l'makomo, he's back right in the place, his default, that's where he started, that's where he'll end, that's where he is all the time in between. Yaakov, in contrast, goes l'darcho, l'darcho. Yaakov is back on the derech. What's a derech? Derech is a path. Yaakov, that's his name. Footsteps, puts down his heel. He's walking, he's progressing, he's advancing, he's changing. What Carol Dweck would call not a fixed mindset, but a growth mindset. A growth mindset is, it doesn't matter how old, how young, what stage of life, retired, working, always growing, always learning, always advancing. Esav is asui. Esav is asui. What is made, whatever exists in the present, is all that counts. That's not Yaakov. Yaakov, our essence, is that Olam Hazeh, this world, is an entranceway to the banquet hall that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos describes. So our stay in this world, you can operate and live in this world with one of two mentalities. Either I've moved in permanently. This is all there is. I've unpacked. I'm here to stay. This is all that exists. This is my identity. This is what I live for. Or you can enjoy this world and all that it has to offer with the recognition I'm only here temporarily. I'm just passing through. A person goes to a hotel. A person goes to a resort. So they don't necessarily fully unpack. They don't start making adjustments to the decor because they say, I'm only here temporarily. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to maximize it. I'm going to take out of it everything I can. I'm going to take advantage of all of the amenities, but I'm just here temporarily. I'm just here, just passing through. So the tzaddik, Yaakov Avinu, lives life in this world. I'm a ger. I'm a stranger. I'm a sojourner. I'm a traveler. I'm just passing through. I'm a temporary resident. Esav says, I've moved in. This is all there is. There is nothing more. So I'm here permanently. And that's the message Hashem conveyed to Yitzhak when he said, Gur ba'aretz hazos ve'yeh imach. Hashem says to Yitzhak, Ger, Gur, sojourn in this land and I'll be with you. And the Erech Shai explains, based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Ger anochi ba'aretz al taster mimeni mitzvosecha, I am a sojourner in the world, hide not your commandments from me. Why would David's status as a ger especially enable him to understand Hashem's mitzvos? So the Degel Machan Ephraim explains that one shares one's inner thoughts and feelings only with a close friend. A person passing through a town doesn't bear his heart to the citizen of the town. He only bears his heart to someone who's traveling with him. Somebody who's traveling, somebody who's on a journey, someone who is sojourning, they pass through a town, they meet someone, nice to meet you, we could have a coffee, we could check in, we can make small talk. I'm not letting you into the innermost secrets of my heart. But somebody you travel with, someone you go on a journey with, someone you're vulnerable to, someone you make your way through this world with, that's who you're vulnerable enough to share with. So David HaMelech was expressing that although he resides in Olam Hazeh, although he's living in this world, he's doing so with the mentality, the attitude of a ger. I'm just traveling. So Hashem Kiviyachol is his travel partner. Hashem is his travel mate. They're going through the world together. Hashem Shechina is hidden and has no one to rest upon. Since I, David, am only a ger, and you, Hashem, are traveling, you have no one to rest. So we'll go together. Atastar mimeni, mitzvosecha. We're in it. We're in it together. And that, the Erech Shai says, that's Hashem's message to Yitzchak. Gur ba'aretz hazos ve'yeh imach. If you move in permanently, I'm not with you. But if you're going to bring the mentality of somebody's traveling and journeying and we're doing it together, then eyeh imach, I'm with you. I'm with you. So now we understand Yaakov's message to Esav. Don't hate me because I took the brachos. I've not become a gvir in Olam Hazeh. Lo neskaima b. The Beis Yud didn't happen. Not because our father's bracha didn't come true. Such a beautiful pshat, Rav Shaul Alter, the Ger Rosh Hashiva. It's not denigrating or disrespecting Yitzchak. Yaakov's not saying our father's bracha was impotent and didn't come true. What he's saying is, despite the bracha, look at all the wealth, look at the influence. I'm an influencer, but it never went to my head, and it's not my mentality. Lo neskaima bi, I didn't embrace being a gvir. I don't aspire to be a gvir. You know who I am and what I am? You know how I identify? My life is as a ger, not a gvir. The brachos are not fulfilled in me. They've not taken place in my essence. I haven't moved in permanently. I live as a ger, recognizing all of this is temporary. It's only for the here and now. This is not what I live for. I don't live for today. I live for tomorrow. I don't live for the here and now. I live for eternity and immortality. Yes, I'm enjoying all this. It's wonderful. It's delicious. It's fantastic. But it's not who I am. So the brachas come true. It's fulfilled. Our father knows what he's doing. But I'm not a gvir. I'm a ger. Lo neskaima b. The Beis Yud of gvir, it hasn't impacted. It hasn't shaped or molded my essence. Unlike you, my brother Esav, who's asui, you're the here and now. All you wish and long for, all you want to be in your essence, is a gvir. I'm a ger. I'm a ger. And the message is clear. Says the Ger Rosh Hashiva, we have to follow Yaakov's path and view our existence in this world as transient, as temporary. Enjoy all the amenities. Enjoy everything the hotel has to offer. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. Use the mini bar if you want to way overpay for a chocolate bar. Enjoy it all. Enjoy it all. But never confuse the hotel with your permanent residence. Enjoy it all, but realize you're only here temporarily. The bracha is fulfilled, but if we want, eyeh imach, then we have to bring a gur ba'aretz hazos. We have to bring that mentality. So three questions the Gera Rosh Yeshiva asked on Rashi, and his answer answers all three so beautifully. It's not denigrating his father at all. The bracha was, in fact, achieved, but lo niskayma bi, not in me, says Yaakov. I'm not a gvir, I'm a ger. Don't aspire to be a gvir. The gvir thinks my whole identity is intertwined with what I have. My identity is intertwined with how I live and my lifestyle. My identity is intertwined by my fame and my fortune. Says Yaakov, you can have all those things, but don't aspire to be a gvir, aspire to be a ger. A fantastic insight of the Ger Rosh Yeshiva. Teferes Yisrael Rav Shmuel also has a beautiful insight. Says Rav Shmuel Birnbaum Rav Shiva, the Mir Brooklyn. This is what you should say. He's bothered by a question. Any of you bothered by this? What does Yaakov tell the Malachim? He tells these angels. He commands them. This is what you should say to whom? No. Look at the pasuk. This is what you should say to. What's the word before Esav? It's an open book test. Don't be shy. What's the word before Esav? La Adoni le Esav. What does Adoni mean? My master is like God, Esav. Ask Rav Shmuel Birnbaum a very compelling question. I understand when Yaakov actually reunites with Esav, when he's standing opposite Esav, and he wants to inflate Esav's ego, build him up, appease him, win him over. So he calls him these wonderful, flattering names, Adoni. But why does he need to do it now? Right now, Yaakov is just talking to the Malachim. When you go to, just call him Esav. We all know what you think about him. So why does he call him Adoni Esav to the Malachim? Why does he refer as my master, the godlike Esav? Okay, if that's how you feel, you have to speak. If you have to make that concession and speak in that way when you meet him, that's one thing. But in advance, that's how you have to speak to the Malachim who are going to talk to him? It makes no sense. He should have told the Malachim, Kosamrun le'esav arasha. This is what you should tell my wicked, evil, Eisvarv brother Esav. If he's being honest with the angels, say how you really feel about Esav. Why are you building him up? Why are you surrendering to him, submitting to him? Adoni le'esav. So listen to what he answers. Yesh lamar, api divra gemar mesachas yevamos. Gemar yevamos daf kuf yud zayin says, shemevi apasik b'mishle kamayim upon him, kein lev ha'adam la'adam. The Gemara learns from that pasuk that just like when a person looks into a body of water, you look into a puddle, you look into a river. When you look into a body of water, what do you see? Your reflection. Just like the water gives you your reflection, so too the heart reflects what's in the other person's heart. Kein lev ha'adam ba'adam. Says Rashi, kruksiv kamayim apanam lapanam. Kamayim alalo sha'adam tzofa ba'am v'roa ba'am panam kepanav. Person's heart is a reflection of the other person's heart. You get what you put in. Our heart is a reflection of the other. Water reflects, and hearts reflects. In order to remove his brother's anger and hatred for him, when they're going to meet up, when they're going to unite and reunite, if Yaakov aspires that Esav will no longer hate him, he needs to first remove the hatred for his brother from his heart. Because how can Esav not reciprocate hate to Yaakov if what he's picking up from Yaakov, the energy, the vibes, the messaging, the signal that he's getting from Yaakov is hate? You want the other person to stop hating on you? Stop hating on them. Because kamayim panam apanam, their heart will reflect what's in yours. And if you want to remove the hate from another person's heart, first start by removing it from yours. Start by removing it from yours. He has to get over, move past whatever grievances he has against his brother. Here he is bitter that he had to run away. He had to leave his father's home all because of Esav. He had to abandon his parents for more than 20 years and to live in the house of Lavan. He's got a long list of grievances against his brother. Work him out. Work him through. By the time you get an audience with your brother, come with a full heart. Come with a clean heart. Come with a clean slate. Because if you want your brother to abandon the hate for you, then you have to first remove the hate for him. Kamayim panim apanim. How does he do that? Even though he's not talking to Esav, he's only talking to the Malachim. He calls him Adoni Esav. You see, I let go. I've moved on. I've healed. I'm okay. I've reconciled. So much so, I can demonstrate it that I don't just call him Esav Arasha. This is what you should tell my wicked Esfarf, evil brother. He says, this is what you should say to Adoni Esav. Because I've worked it through. I can call him Adoni Esav. I'm good to go. My heart is pure and clean. I'm ready to see Esav. Because if he's looking into my heart, you know what reflection he's going to see? He's going to see I'm good to go. I've let it go. And we're good now. And we're good now. And that's why he calls him Adoni Esav. Even though he's not talking to Esav directly, he's only talking to the Malachim, talking to the angels. Rav Druk, also on this pasuk, I promise we're going to move on, but also on this pasuk, Rav Druk wonders something different. We began by mentioning that Rashi quotes two perushim, two interpretations in Lavan Garti. What are the two interpretations? Number one, don't be jealous of me that our father gave me a bracha, I'm going to be a gvir. I never became a gvir, I'm just a ger. Shot number two, Lavan Garti, Tariag Mitzvah Shamati. I've observed all Tariag. I kept all 613. Lavan had no influence. I didn't compromise. I wasn't corrupted. He had no influence. Tariag Mitzvah Shamati. Tariag Mitzvah Shamati. One does Rav Druk and his Lavos Eish. Why does Rashi need to bring two interpretations? This is a pedagogic question. Whenever Rashi brings more than one interpretation, ask yourself, why? Why wasn't he satisfied with the first one? Why did he feel compelled to offer or to bring a second one? So this is how he answers. When Yaakov offers a prayer in anticipation of reuniting with his brother, this is Pasuk Yud Beis, we didn't read it yet. Hatzileni na, save me from miyad achi, miyad Esav. Save me from my brother, save me from Esav. The rabbis already wondered, why did Yaakov need to duplicate? Save me from my brother. Save me. We know who your brother is. It's Esav. Either call him your brother or call him Esav. You don't need to be redundant and call him both. He has only one brother. It's not that he has so many brothers. In case you're confused, save me from my brother. Oh, which one? He only has one. We know it's his brother. There weren't more than one Esav in this world. There weren't a lot of people with the same name. So it's not that Yaakov had to be specific, from my brother, from Esav. He only has one brother, it's Esav. There is only one Esav and it's his brother. So it is entirely repetitive. So just say one description of the other. Why both? So the Beis Halevi, the great Beis Halevi, famously answers, our enemies have two methodologies, two ways with which they attack. Our enemies try to defeat us and destroy us and eliminate us in two ways. October 7th, pogroms, inquisitions, a Holocaust, anti-Semitic attacks. One is physical violence. They try to murder, they try to exterminate, they try to eliminate. And the second way is they try to get us to assimilate. They try to kill our spirit and our soul, our distinctiveness and our uniqueness. They try to get us from both. I remember once on one of the trips leading March of the Living to Poland, someone shared with me that their parent, who was a survivor, reflected and said, in Europe, they killed us with hate. In America, they're killing us with love. Now that love is also mixed with a little hate. But before a couple of years ago, we could have said, looking at the data and statistics about assimilation and intermarriage, they're welcoming us with open arms. And they're killing us, not with hate, but with love. Yaakov is palali natsa me'esav mitzashteya b'chinos halalu. Says the Beis Halevi, why did Yaakov invoke both names when he davened to Hashem to be spared? Because he's asking Hashem, protect me and spare me from whichever method my brother takes against me. Hatzilini nam yad esav ha'perish rishim yavo esav kish mulchamo chau yevlitol es nafsho. If he's going to present himself as an esav, if it's going to be an anti-Semitic attack, if he's coming at me with a knife, with a gun, with an RPG, if he's coming at me with an anti-tank missile, protect me. Zaka Yaakov tefila. Me'idach im yavo esav ke'ach. And if he's coming at me like a brother, and he says, come with me, live like me, abandon your lifestyle, intermarry with my children, save me from that too. Save me from that too. I've written and spoken. I honestly, genuinely feel guilty that I haven't done more, and all of us should. As alarmed as we all are, as alarmed and startled as we all are by the spike and rise in anti-Semitism, the danger and threat it poses pales in comparison to assimilation and intermarriage. We are wiping ourselves away, wiping ourselves away. The intermarriage rate is nearing 70%. Certainly if you take the Orthodox out, and it's crept into the Orthodox too. The intermarriage assimilation rate is off the charts. We are destroying ourselves at a far greater rate and clip than our enemies could ever dream of. There aren't 70%, there aren't attacks that are killing 70% of the Jews. And yet, intermarriage is capturing 70% of our people. There is a double dual threat. Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav. Which one is more pernicious? Which one is more dangerous? Which one is more successful? Miyad Achi, when our, so to say, enemy are presenting as brother, assimilate, integrate, you're welcome, melting pot, join us, marry our children. That's far, far more dangerous statistically right now than when our enemies come as Miyad Esav. Miyad Esav. Just look at the numbers. They don't necessarily make the same headlines. The 70% intermarriage rate, we've sort of just adjusted to it. We've accepted it. We shouldn't. We have to remain maladjusted to it. We have to do everything we can to fight it. We love our brothers and sisters. We have to influence and move the needle however and however much we can. But the 70% intermarriage rate, the assimilation rate, far, far, far surpasses however many incidents of anti-Semitism there are. That's not to minimize or dismiss the danger of anti-Semitism, but it is to recognize that it pales in comparison. Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav. A dual and double threat, and that's why Yaakov davens, both. Hashem Hatzileni Na, save me from anti-Semitism. Save me even more from assimilation. I worry about my children, each of us should feel. My grandchildren, can they walk safely? Can they wear a yarmulke? Anti-Semitism in the diaspora, anti-Semitism in Israel. 7 countries were at war with it. 8, 9, 10 million people ran in and out of bomb shelters for 2 years because of it. That also is anti-Semitism, countries and nations at war. So we daven Hashem, keep our children and grandchildren, keep us safe. Hatzilenina miyad Esav, but also Hatzilenina miyad Achi. Save me from assimilation when he presents as a brother to assimilate. And says Rav Juk, this was not only temporarily for that time, this is a refrain, this is part of what we daven in each of every generation. Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav. We're worried about both elements, both dangers and both threats. And both threats. And he quotes, Umargala Bapuma de Inshi. And it's in the mouths of people. Sheyoser Chalala Mepila America Measher Kol HaMuslamim. America has done more to defeat, to eliminate our people than all radical Islam. Since America welcomes up open arms, assimilate, integrate, marry in, welcome, so many have fallen, so many have disappeared, so many have ended that chain. Apizeh says, based on this Rav Druk, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od, Vayitzer Lo. We did read that Yaakov, when the angels come back and report, oh yeah, Esau's on his way to you too. And by the way, he's coming with 400 armed men. You are Master Yaakov. You sent us to make these gestures of love and affection and reconciliation and brotherhood. Well, your brother's on his way. He's got 400 armed men. And how does Yaakov feel? Vayira Yaakov Ma'od, Vayitzer Lo. Yaakov is afraid and he becomes very anxious. Why the double language? So both. This is the parallel. Mitzad echad Yaakov yari mehamacham emesav. He's afraid. Have to go to war. Put on a uniform, grab a gun, drive a tank, fly a plane. He's worried. Shehargenu. He's worried that Esav is going to kill him, his children. But Vayitzer Lo, he's also anxious. What's he anxious about? Maybe he's going to weaken us spiritually. Maybe my family is going to assimilate and integrate, and they're going to lose the passion for Yiddishkeit. So there's a double language in the prayer. Hatzileni nami arachim yad Esav. There's a double language in the reaction. Vayira Yaakov Vayitzer Lo. And based on this, Rav Druk is going to explain his question. Why does Rashi have two interpretations? B'zei yesh levar od. Why does it say miyad achi, miyad Esav? It could have just said, Hatzileni na me'achi Esav. Save me from my brother Esav. Why miyad achi, miyad? Why the double language of miyad? Ki Yaakov chashash miyado shel Esav b'shnei amuvanim. Gam ariyad amaka. Because Esav could put out his hand to punch, he could put out his hand to hug. Both are dangerous. Both are dangerous. If he puts out his hand to stab, or if he puts out his hand to hug, they're both dangerous. They're both dangerous. Now he returns to the question. Why did Rashi have two interpretations in Lavan Garti? The first one was, don't worry, Esav. I didn't become a gvir. I'm just a ger. Second one was, in Lavan Garti, and I still observe Targum Mitzvos. I haven't compromised. I haven't become corrupt. Now he says we can understand based on the Beis HaLevi, a beautiful Rav Druk. Keneged chashash yavo Esav lehilachem. Taking on the concern, Esav's coming to fight physically. He says, lo nasei sar v'chashuv, ki im ger, en chagidai lesnosi. You don't have to kill me. You don't have to punch me. You don't have to stab me. You don't have to defeat me. Don't worry. I never became hot stuff. I never became all that. I never became a gvir. I'm some lowly stranger, sojourner. I'm not even settled. So you don't have to kill me. And on the other end, if you think you're going to get me to assimilate, if you think you're going to corrupt me spiritually, good luck, buddy. Im lavan garti, v'tayag mitzvah shamarti. I just came out of the backyard of Lavan. And I lived with him for many years. And you know his impact on me? Gornished. Nothing. If Lavan couldn't change me, you're not changing me. So if you want to defeat me and kill me physically, it's not worth it. I didn't become a gvir, I'm just a ger. And if you think you're going to destroy me by making me assimilate, im Lavan garti, tayag mitzvah shamarti, been there, done that. Lived with Lavan, he had no impact on me, and I'm still here to tell about it. I'm still good to go. But there's a very powerful impact. And I would say this is a message that's a parsha perspective for today. All of us can't take anything for granted and can't settle on our laurels. And all of us have to incorporate in our heartfelt prayers that prayer. Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav. Every day, Hashem, spare me and my family physically, spare me and my family spiritually. Because the world is filled with enormous dangers on both ends. Physical dangers with the spike and the rise of anti-Semitism, and spiritual dangers with the enormous impact of assimilation. And lest you think, I send my kids to day school, my kids went through yeshiva, I live a life of shmiras hamitzvos. Assimilation, that's a problem of the other denominations. That's a problem of the unaffiliated Jew. It breaks my heart to tell you that that's not true. It's not true. It's not because necessarily any parents did anything wrong or the Rebbeim or educators did anything wrong. It is a dangerous, dangerous world, and we're seeing the consequences of it. And so it is incumbent on every parent, with everything else that we do, to daven from the depth of our being each and every day, Miyad Achi, Miyad Esav. Hashem, protect my family and me from anti-Semitism, and also equally, maybe more, from assimilation. Perek, we just read it. Perekhes, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Vayitzer Lo. Yaakov is afraid and Yaakov's anxious. Why the double language? Rav Druk just gave us one answer. What is the double language? The Beis Halevi is the two things he's afraid of. Rabbi Sachs, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs in the New Chumash, he offers something else. Why the duplication? What's the difference between fear and distress? According to Rashi, the first is a physical anxiety, second a moral one. It's one thing to fear our own death, quite another to contemplate being the cause of someone else's. If Esav were to try to kill Yaakov, he would be justified in fighting back, if necessary, at the cost of Esav's life. Yet Yaakov is distressed at the possibility of being forced to kill, even if it is entirely justified. I think it's Golda Meir who once said, we can forgive our enemies possibly for killing us, but it's unforgivable they turn our children into those who have to kill. And that's what Yaakov is saying here. Vayira Yaakov, Ma'od. Yaakov is afraid. He's afraid that he could get killed. He's afraid that his family could be harmed. Vayitzer lo, he's distressed. What distresses him? The thought that I'll have to kill another. What we're encountering here is the concept of a moral dilemma. This phrase is often used imprecisely to mean a moral problem, a difficult ethical decision. In numerous situations, two duties conflict, and we have meta-halachic principles to tell us which take priority. There's always a decision procedure and thus a determinate answer to the question, what should I do? But a dilemma is not simply a conflict. It arises in cases of conflict between right and right, or between wrong and wrong. The fact that one principle of self-defense overrides another, the prohibition against killing, does not mean that faced with such a choice, Yaakov is without qualms. Sometimes being moral means one experiences distress and having to make such a choice. Doing the right thing may mean that one does not feel remorse or guilt. One still feels regret or grief about the action that needs to be taken. A moral system which leaves room for the existence of dilemmas is one that does not attempt to eliminate the complexities of the moral life. In a conflict between two rights or two wrongs, there may be a proper way to act, the lesser of the two evils or the greater of the two goods, but it does not cancel out all the emotional pain. These mixed feelings were born thousands of years ago when Yaakov, father of the Jewish people, experienced not only the physical fear of defeat, but the moral distress of victory. Only those who are capable of feeling both can defend their bodies without endangering their souls. Only those who can feel that moral dilemma, the moral distress of victory, only those who are capable of feeling both can defend their bodies without endangering their souls. As only Rabbi Sachs Kenny puts it so beautifully. And we're seeing the consequences and results of our holy, incredible soldiers who fought so valiantly and heroically. And Baruch Hashem, those who lived to tell about it. But Vayetzer Lo, the haunting trauma, the PTSD, what they went through, and the moral dilemmas they faced in having to defeat enemies are things they will, images that haunt, that they will have to live with. That all began with Yaakov, who knew what he had to do and prepared to do it, but Vayetzer Lo, he was nevertheless distressed at the thought, the moral conundrum, the moral dilemma he'd be faced with having to do it nonetheless. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud Tes. The tribute, he sends these gifts, and now they meet up. And he tells the first group, he divides them in two. My brother Esav meets you, she'elcha le'mor, and he asks, l'mi ata? V'ana se'lech, l'mi e'lefanecha? If he says, who are you? Where are you going? And whose are these that are before you? Soloveitchik, we've studied in the past, saw that as the three questions that we're asked. Who are you? Where are you going? Whose are these before you? V'yamart alav, d'chal Yaakov, mincha yishluch aladun le'esav, v'ine gam hu acharenu. V'inu gam hu acharenu. This is what you should say. Im yavo. I'm sorry, go back. I'm reading the wrong pasuk. Tess. Go back to the last page, 172. Yaakov divides his camp in two and he says, Im yavo Esav alamachane achkas viko. If Esav approaches the one camp and strikes, vaya machane nishar lefleita. What is Yaakov doing here? He's diversifying. He breaks his family into two and he says, if Esav is successful in eliminating one, the others will be survivors. The others will survive. My dear friend Rabbi Ari Mirzov, who hates when I mention his name, shared with me a Divrei Yisrael, a beautiful insight in this pasuk, one of the favorites of our Rebbe, Rav Moshe Weinberger. The Divrei Yisrael, who is the Divrei Yisrael? the Matzitzer, we saw a tab of Matzitz, the Divrei Yisrael. Divrei Yisrael says the following, Yivuar api masha amar Adoni Aviz Keni, he quotes from a Zayda. Who's the Zayda of Rav, of the Beis Yisrael, of the Divrei Yisrael? The Zayda was Rav Yecheskel Taub of Kushmir. And he said the following, Zeu klash leis akesh adam lidog v'satzev ala michshol echer chalila. Ki ze atzvas hi etzam hayetzer. Lahapila o lachshilo yoser. Person makes a mistake. Person comes up short. Spoke lashon hara. You looked at the wrong image. You ate the wrong food. You forgot to make a bracha. You lost your cool and you weren't patient. A person makes a mistake. Do you know how the yetzer hara works? It brings a sadness, a depression, a despondency, a hopelessness, a helplessness. And it tries to get you to give up on yourself. But if you divide, if you create a break, if you say that's a particular moment, that was an incident, that was poor judgment, that was a failure, that was a fail. But I divide my camp, I divide my life, I divide my soul, and I'm going to bounce back. The second half is lifleta. I'm able to save and salvage what's left. What's left? Ulamashal socher ami b'chanus abiyam d'shuka. V'achever ganavim or v'machutz. Holy ganav echad alachanus v'chotiv chifetz echad u'boreach. Hakavana shahasocher yirdav acharav b'inkach yivu achever ganav alachanus yavozo go yigyo. Hasocher shupikech amevin goza omer b'libo yachzik lo mashachata v'ina rodiv acharav. Person's got a store and robbers come and rob him. So you're tempted to go run after them to recover what they stole. But the smart store owner knows if you run after them to recover what they stole, there's another group of bandits who are going to come into the store and take the rest. So what do? You write off what they took. And what do? Instead, you double down to protect what's still there. So says the Divrei Yisrael, says the Matzitzer. Same here. Shomer achanos b'kan lahaba b'nosu b'nosu v'haydeze yarviach yismal ha'hezik b'kef le'keflayim. Vanim shall move on. V'zeu sherem has become b'yadua. That Esav is the Yetzirah. M'yavo Esav al machane achas v'yikau. If the Yetzirah comes and strikes, and the Yetzirah is successful, got you to sleep in one morning, you didn't make it to shul, got you to talk during davening, it got you to look at the wrong thing, it got you to act out in the wrong way. M'yavo a Yetzirah v'machshilu l'adam achas mitzvah Hashem, chalila, al yisya eish atzma masha'avar. Never give up. Never be hopeless. Never write off. Double down on who you are and what you have left. Focus and concentrate and protect and double down. The answer is this attitude, this method of Yaakov was not only true in that moment, but was a strategy in perpetuity and for life. That if the ace of the Yetzihara of our life strikes, double down on what's left, and it will protect us. Yaakov, we know, goes back for those small jugs, maybe an allusion to Hanukkah coming up, even in the parsha, those small jugs. And he finds himself all alone, and he wrestles with his alter ego. He wrestles with the social Esav, who strikes. Yaakov survives, but he limps away. And we observe the laws of Gid Anasha. Since then, we don't eat the Gid Anasha. We don't eat the hindquarters, with the sciatic nerve. You have to learn the art of treburing. Can it be removed? Something that's done in Israel. Hechsherim in America generally don't. So we observe the law of Gid Anasha as a result. Why are we observing the laws of Gid Anasha? It's a very peculiar thing. Yish l'daktik, wonders of Shmuel Berenbaum. Me'achar shesha Gid Anasha l'doros, no b'masha sor shalizim naga b'kaf yarech Yaakov, lama amar akasov alkein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael. The Hishman is Yaakov Atzmo. When the Torah records the practice, the law, we commemorate that he walked away with a limp, that he was injured. It says the Jewish people in perpetuity don't eat the Gid Anasha, but it omits, it leaves out Yaakov. What about Yaakov? What about the fact that Yaakov also wasn't allowed to eat it? Why doesn't it mention Yaakov? Because Gid Anasha is not a message for Yaakov. It's a message, Livnei Yisrael, literally the children of Yaakov, the children of Yisrael. How and why did this happen to Yaakov? Kevin Sheinich was Yaakov Latzeis Livado Balaila. Vayivaser Yaakov Livado. Yaakov was by himself. Vayeavek ishimo aralos hashachar. What was the condition that enabled the angel to strike? Why did Yaakov find himself vulnerable, fragile, exposed in a wrestling match all night long? Because he was abandoned by his own children. Yaakov says, you can almost picture the scene. Kindalach, I forgot something, I got to go back for it. Who wants to come with me? Keep me company. We'll drive together, we'll ride together, we'll walk together. No, Kindalach, it's an opportunity. There's so many of you, and we go on family outings. Which one of you wants a little time, alone time with dad? Come with me. You know what they all say? I'm watching something, I'm typing something, I'm scrolling something, I'm tired, I already changed into my pajamas, I'm lying on the couch, I already got into bed, I always do it, somebody else should go do it. Yaakov says, fine, I'll just go by myself. And he goes by himself, and he's attacked by the Sarah Shal Esav. Mizeh Yatza Sheba Sarah Shal Esav. Who has to remember what happens when a Jew is left alone? When a Jew is left alone, they're vulnerable, they're exposed, they could be injured. Who has to remember that? B'nei Yisrael. It was Yaakov's children who left him that way. A Jew never abandons a fellow Jew. A Jew must never be left alone. We've quoted this previously in the name of the Chizkuni, because the Chizkuni answers another odd question. If I were to ask you, if you ask most people, why don't we eat the Gitanasha, they'll answer, we don't eat it to commemorate what? The Yaakov wrestled with the angel. He was injured, but he won. But he won. So normally you would say, if you're commemorating that he won, the mitzvah is to eat, right? Everybody knows the old joke. They tried to kill us. Every Jewish holiday can be summarized. They tried to kill us. We survived. Let's eat. What? Matzah, latke, sufganiyah, every holiday to what we should eat is different. But the common theme of all Jewish holidays is they tried to kill us. We survived. Let's eat. So the Sarah Shal Esav tried to kill Yaakov. He survived. Don't eat. Doesn't fit. Dafka, there should be a mitzvah. Eat the Gitanasha. Remember that Yaakov survived. Wonders the Chizkuni, why is there no mitzvah to eat it? Why are we told not to eat it? Chizkuni answers, Chizkuni is a Rishon, but Rav Shmuel Berenbaum says similarly, that the reason we don't eat it is not to commemorate that Yaakov won. What we're commemorating is how this happened to begin with. How did it happen to begin with? Because Yaakov, Ayivasa Yaakov, Livado. He was left all alone. When a Jew is left all alone, look what can happen. Look what can happen to a Jew who's left all alone. All alone. All right. Already on the clock. Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Yud. Next perek. The encounter. Yaakov and Esav, they finally meet. And Esav runs towards him and he embraces him and he falls on his neck and he intended to kill him, but instead he kissed him and they cried and they wept. And he raised his eyes. Esav raises his eyes. I saw one of the Mefarshim points out the wicked, evil Esav. What does he see first? Vayaras Hanashim. A pure person, a pure heart, will first see the pure children. But Esav Vayaras Hanashim. He sees the women. His eyes are always drawn to the women. He sees the women and he sees the children. He says, Mielelach, who are these to you? Vayomar Hayiladim Ashachanan Elokim Esavdecha. Yaakov answers, these are the children of God has graciously given to your servant. They reunite. Skip to Pasuk Yud. Vayomer Yaakov, Al na yimna matasachim beinecha, v'lakachta min chasim yadi, ki alken reisi panecha kiros panei Elokim, v'atirtzeini. Yaakov says to Esav, take these gifts. If I find favor in your eyes, accept the tribute, accept the gifts. And as much as I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of a divine being. Yaakov is really laying it on. Esav, as much your holy face, I see your face, I've seen God, I've seen the divine. If I find favor in your divinely godly eyes and face, if I find favor, then please graciously take, accept, receive these gifts. What in the world is going on here? Rashi says, Amna matzasichim beinecha, says Rashi, כי כדאי והוגם לך שתקע במלחסי על אשר ראיסי פניך, והן חשובים לי כראיס פני המלך, המלך שראיסי שר שלך. Seeing your face is like I saw your angel, your alter ego, because I saw your sar, I wrestled with him all night. מוכרחם לסבונה in wonders of druk, בדבר שיעקב אבינו, כי הכן ראיסי פניך כראיס פני אלוקים. איך ייתכן שיעקב מתאר את פניו של עשיו? How in the world can Yaakov describe Esav, the face of the wicked Esav, like the face of God himself? Hayitachain, question mark, explanation point, in Lavos Eish. Nira, Shirashi Amal HaKushazu, Perish, Bekavonas Yaakov, Shariyas Panei Esav, Esav HaShuv Elo Kriyas Panei Malach. What he meant was, seeing Esav's face was like seeing the face of an angel. El Adayin Yeshmakam Levar, but what does that mean? Still, what's the comparison? What's the analogy? So Rav Druk quotes his father, Rav Mordechai Druk, the Drash Mordechai. And his father said the following. Rashi, on Pasuk Dalet, quotes a different chazal. Amar Rav Shimon ben Yochai, halacha yadua, she'esav sone liyakov. We have a halacha, we have an axiom, we have a truth, that Esav hates Yaakov. There was, there is, there always will be some form of anti-Semitism in this world. Lefiza yiyabar kach, Yaakov hayata ma'pulaso shel Esav klapav. Ech yitaken shemenashka mechabko. Hari sonahu lo. I don't understand. If it's true, halacha biyadua. If it's axiomatic and ontological and absolute that Esav will always hate Yaakov, how could he kiss me and hug me? He hates me. Elavada yachuva, what's the answer? Kach tirit Yaakov la'atmo. Yaakov must have answered to himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hichnis belibo shel Esav rachamim klapav. In that moment, who motivated, who inspired, who directed Esav to hug and kiss Yaakov? Who allowed a soft spot in Esav's heart? If it's true, halacha biyadua, so axiomatic and so true that Esav always hates Yaakov, how and why would Esav hug and kiss him? It must be Hashem was protecting him. Hashem is directing him. Otherwise, there's no logic to it. How could it be? Makara shegarm l'shinoy atmui. This is going against Esav's essence. It's going against Esav's nature. How could it be that Esav would go against his essence and his nature, that instead of killing him, he would hug him and kiss him? It must be. This was a miracle. There was a miracle. Ein zos ela ki yad Hashem b'davar. V'akein omer Yaakov, akein ra'isi panecha kiros panei Elokim. So when Yaakov says, I see in you the face of God, he wasn't lying, distorting, laying it on thick, just trying to say whatever was necessary. That's not Yaakov. He doesn't ask it this way, but we could have. After all, what's Yaakov's core character trait? Yaakov is titein emes liyaakov. Yaakov does not tell a lie, except for when he told a few lies. But Yaakov doesn't tell a lie. He's titein emes liyaakov. Yaakov's fidelity to honesty, integrity, and truth. And here he is telling Esav, I see in your face the face of God. Says Rav Druk, you know what he meant? I see in your face the face of God. I see in your face you hate me and you want to kill me. And yet you hugged me and you kissed me. It must be God made a miracle. I see in your action at this moment, I see the hand of Hashem. I saw this and I thought immediately, you know, last Shabbos, two Shabboses ago, Hillel Neuer of UN Watch was here. One of the heroes of the Jewish people fighting the front line of the UN, the halls of darkness and iniquity at the United Nations, living in Geneva, Switzerland, where it's based, selflessly sacrificing, doing so much there. And he was talking about all that he does, how much he has to overcome, how much he has to fight. And if you pause and you say to yourself for a moment, how could it be in 1948, the United Nations voted to award the Jewish people the state of Israel? It's impossible. Halacha biyadua, that the United Nations hates Jews and Israel. It's halacha biyadua, United Nations, Sona Liyakov. How could it be? So in that moment, Ra'isi panecha kiros panei Elokim. There are moments where Hashem's presence can so be felt. A revealed, undeniable miracle. A revealed, undeniable miracle in that moment. Reb Chaim Brisker used to walk around Brisk. Hine goy holech muli harei usone osi. Im kem de mani maka osi. And he used to feel to himself, certainly Europe in that time, God forbid, places in America, maybe, God forbid, in our time, You say, I know the statistics about anti-Semitism. I know how much hatred there is. Why aren't I being punched and stabbed and killed? Elamai, it's a miracle from Hashem. Every moment of a Jew's safety and security is a miracle from Hashem. And that's what Yaakov saw in Esav's face in that moment. Really, I know you want to kill me. And yet you hugged me and kissed me. I just saw God's revealed hand. I just saw Pnei Elohim. He wasn't lying and he wasn't laying it on. He was saying it like it is. And what is the like it is? He was saying, I see in you the face of God. We'll end with, Rabbi Sacks also has a comment on this. Kiros Pnei Elohim. These words of Yaakov echo in his remark after the wrestling match. And actually, we'll save this for next year. It's too long. But after the wrestling match, Yaakov names the place Pnei El because I've seen God face to face and been spared. In Prakim Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel, with variants on the word Panim, time and time and time again, we see that word. Pnei Elohim, Pnei El, Panim, over and over and over again. Four times more, we see that word. What is it telling us? Remind me next year. We'll start off with this, Rabbi Sacks, together. We're not on next week. We resume in 2 weeks from now. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay holy.